volunteer read the 12 steps of WA?
One, we admitted we were powerless over work, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, became entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we have harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to workaholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Will someone read the signposts of workaholism?
I'm Kathleen, an workaholic.
Hi, Kathleen.
The signposts of workaholism. One, we find it hard to love and accept ourselves. Work has become our means of gaining approval, finding our identity, and justifying our existence. Two, we use work to escape our feelings. Thus, we deprive ourselves of knowing what we truly want and need. Three, by overworking, we neglect our health, relationships, recreation, and spirituality. Even when we are not working, we are thinking of our next task. Most of our activities are work-related. We deny ourselves the enjoyment of a balanced and varied life. Four, we use work as a way to deal with the uncertainties of life. We lie awake worrying. We overplan and overorganize. By being unwilling to surrender control, we lose our spontaneity, creativity, and flexibility. Five, many of us grew up in chaotic homes. Stress and intensity feel normal to us. We seek out these conditions in the workplace. We create crises and get adrenaline highs by overworking to resolve them. Then we suffer withdrawals and become anxious and depressed. Such mood swings destroy our peace of mind. Six, work has become an addiction. We lie to ourselves and to others about the amount we do. We hoard work to ensure we will always be busy and never bored. We fear free time and vacations and find them painful instead of refreshing. Seven, instead of being a haven, our home is an extension of our workplace. Our family and friends often arrange their time with us around our work, vainly hoping we will finish it and then can be with them. Eight, we make unreasonable demands upon ourselves. We aren't aware of any difference between job-imposed and self-imposed pressure. By overscheduling our lives, we become driven, racing to beat the clock, fearful that we will get behind and binge work in order to catch up. Our attention is fragmented by trying to do several things at once. Our inability to pace ourselves leads to breakdown and burnout. We rob ourselves of the enjoyment of conclusion and rest. Nine, we tend to be perfectionistic. We don't accept mistakes as part of being human and find it hard to ask for help. Because we believe no one can meet our standards, we have difficulty delegating and so do more than our share of our work. Thinking ourselves indispensable often prevents our progress. Unrealistic expectations often cheat us of contentment. 10. We tend to be over-serious and responsible. All activity must be purposeful. We find it hard to relax and just be. We feel guilty and restless when not working. Because we often work at our play, we rarely experience recreation and renewal. We neglect our sense of humor and rarely enjoy the healing power of laughter. 11. Waiting is hard for us. We are more interested in results than process, in quantity than quality. Our impatience often distorts our work by not allowing it proper timing. And 12, many of us are concerned with image. We think that looking busy makes people think we are important and gains their admiration. By seeking others' approval of us, we lose ourselves.
Thanks. The format of this meeting is procrastination. We ask that we avoid crosstalk. Avoiding crosstalk means that when we speak, we address the meetings as a whole. We speak in the first person and do not give advice. Please do not share again until everyone who wishes to has had an opportunity to share. We keep the 12th tradition of anonymity in mind, placing principles before personalities. The meeting is now open for sharing, and again, the topic is procrastination.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks. Hi, I'm Louisa. I'm a workaholic.
I'm
also work anorexic, and I have significant work and non-issues. Thank you for those readings. It's always good to hear why I'm here, because I forget so fast. I think procrastination is a really big problem for me, and I think that I heard it when you were reading the signposts. And the thing that jumped out for me was about making mistakes. In my family, growing up, making a mistake was, you know, a guillotine-worthy offense. Not only do you not make mistakes, if you have any worth as a human being, but you should expect to be shamed and humiliated forever for doing the slightest thing. And there was, all this baggage came into my adulthood around the subject of making mistakes. I know that to a certain extent, what I've learned in this program and in 12 Steps is to acquire the skill of, you fall down and figure out, how could I do it better next time? You get back up and you try again. That sort of philosophy, when I was growing up, would have been so not only foreign, it would have been considered practically a communist plot. So it's been very difficult for me to give myself permission to just make it okay to make a mistake and to say, oh good, this is a great opportunity, like the Edison thing, it's a great opportunity to figure out another way not to invent the light bulb. So I think procrastination for me in itself has almost become a separate disease. It's become a technique. If I just put it off, then I put off the pain of making a mistake. Of course, I put off the pain, put off the success of getting anything done, too, and create enormous problems for myself by putting things off. So it's for me, procrastination involves just this huge vat, I guess, a fear that just all below the surface, afraid to take action. So I think that coming to these meetings and taking the steps and surrendering to this and sort of feel the fear and do it anyway kind of thing causes those fears to come up where I have to look at them. And then that makes procrastination, again, more attractive. But I'll keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks. I'm Sandy, workaholic.
Hi, Sandy.
One of the things that I procrastinate is play. When I was a child, my father was in the Air Force, and we moved frequently. So what they did was they bought a house, they refinished the basement and refinished the attic and sold the house for a lot of money, and then they had, you know, more money for the next house. And so all we did was work. You know how they say shop till you drop? It was more like work till you drop. And you know, I have a sponsor in another program one time. She said that her family always quit at 4 o'clock and played games. And I was like, you know, we never went to the movies, we never went to picnics, we never did anything. We were always painting, fixing the car, whatever. You know, we always worked. And then the thing that went along with that was if you overworked, then you could drink because it was justified. You know, you were so tired. You know, pour me, pour me, pour me a drink, that kind of thing. And for the children, it was pour me cookies, milkshakes, whatever. And so I have a sign to put in the kitchen that I unearthed from 4 or 5 years ago that says, "Don't postpone joy." Because that is one of my problems. If I don't experience joy, then I do overeat and this sort of thing. So, and I have a shame around being playful when I should be working, should, you know, and I'll just stop this ramble with the letters for shame. Spell should have already mastered everything. So, that's kind of great. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks, Andy.
Procrastinator. I just want to share briefly a slogan which helps me with this, and that is, and also I iterate what the last two speakers said, so I'm going to add this. Anything worth doing is worth doing badly. And I heard someone who was accomplished speak once about making mistakes and how you can't attain above mediocrity unless you're willing to risk. And when you're willing to risk, and if something you do is risky, that means part of the time you're going to fail. So this is what I have a hard time doing, is doing things that are risky, in which I have to risk failure in order to learn. But, you know, the only way to get better is to make mistakes and learn, and I have a very hard time doing that. My metaphor is, I work with computers, and when people first started using mice, they looked at the mice and said, they tried to plan where they were going to go with the mouse, so they wouldn't move. But the only way to get good at using a mouse is to move it and see where the pointer is, right? So it's that kind of thing that I've kind of boxed myself into a corner with fear. And I'm not in that movement where I make mistakes and learn where to go. You know, like a fly doesn't know where. A fly looks for the gradient of what it's trying to smell, and it doesn't go directly to it. It just goes and listens to what it smells, and then sooner or later it gets to it. And I'm not in that mode. I'm in this mode where I want to plan ahead. I want no risk, and I've painted myself into a corner. And there's a lot of pain around that. And I've almost in my addiction, I've become used to. It's almost the pain is more comfortable than the fear, than the sheer terror of putting up with the risk of failing. So also in a lot of denial, and there's so few people in our meeting that it's hard to ask for help. And so I really need to put out where I am, which is, no matter how many years you've been in program, there's always another layer.
First thing on our list, I really heard it addressed a couple of years ago in San Francisco when we had visitors from elsewhere out of the United States, and I got the impression that one of the main parts of the IWA, a big focus was on procrastination. I could really identify with that. I have somebody that either I call or they call me at around 7:30 in the morning, and she's my fun of sun person, and we exchange at least one thing we're going to do for fun that day. And that works for me. And it's surprising, after being, I've been on vacation for a while now, on the way here, and I don't have all my lists with me, and that there's no problem having fun because I'm vacationing with people and life is really fun, but there's so many things. But when I'm home with my lists and my normal life, retired, sometimes I have to really think to come up with one fun thing that I can figure out to do today. And sitting here today, that seems incredulous. But I know for a fact I live that life. So that works. And secondly, I'm doing at the end of the fourth step again. And there was a whole section towards the end on fear. And I did it a while ago. That section was on that bill. It's at my age, memory is something else. So it's not really at my fingertip what was involved. But I do know one of those columns towards the end was a lot of things turned out to be a fear of rejection for me. And I've made huge strides in that area, and but I'm still after more freedom because I resent the fact that I can't do something. And then those are the things I procrastinate about. I won't do it. I can't do it. I delay it. I deny it. I put it on a list. You know, 3 pages. I look back. I keep these lists. I look back, and everything's crossed out except like one or two little things. I've been willing to bet a lot that those two little things involve rejection, whether it's just making a phone call to somebody or whatever. It's amazing. Seem to be very sensitive. I mean, calling a doctor's office, I don't know. Some of the stuff I look at it with certain eyes, and I think, well, what is it feeling? How hard is that? And but like after I do it, it doesn't seem like such a big thing. But initially, it's a big fear of rejection I have. And also, another factor here for me is that in my circle of friends, most of whom are in one 12-step program or another, I have a reputation of being the brave one. I mean, I'm the one that has the reputation for walking through a lot of these fears. And even traveling now and visiting family and friends that are not in 12-step programs, I haven't spent this much time with, some people call them mommies, the people that are not in the program, and they amaze me that there's a lot of fear. I mean, I feel like really a great person compared to some of the stuff that I've seen going on, which I've shared in the meeting. And I'll just end by saying I really am after more of that freedom, because it's a freedom for me not to be held back by my addictive thinking and my addictive behavior and that fear that I hate it. I hate not to be able to just fly free and be able to do what I want to do. So I learned early on the program to walk through my fears, and I went to one, I know it was the last thing, I wish I would have a time on. I went to a weekend one time, and the closing speaker said that if you didn't walk through his fears, he would just roll up into a little ball and roll off in the corner and die. And I think really, I just kept that. Because that is me. That's exactly where I come from. It's a disease of isolation for me. And if I don't force myself to do some of the things,
we're at the end of our meeting. There will be a breakout meeting after we close this meeting, and the board meeting starts in the next room. Our meeting is now completed. If you didn't get an opportunity to share, please stay after the meeting and talk with someone, or stay for the breakout meeting where we can continue. By our seventh tradition, we're self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Pass the basket. If this is your first meeting, please step to the table. The money we collect will go to full service. Remember, we now read the promises of the program. Do I have a volunteer?
I'd be happy. Are they floating around? I'm happy to read them, but I
mean, right, just getting them for you. Here.
The promises of Workaholics Anonymous. If we are completely honest about ourselves, and together we use the 12 steps of Workaholics Anonymous and the tools of WA in our lives, we will soon begin to receive these gifts of sanity and balance. One, we are not obsessed by work or plagued by work aversion. Two, adrenaline seeking loses its hold on us. Excessive worry and anxiety become a thing of the past. Three, we have a daily plan of action that faces the reality of time, priorities, health, and relationships. Four, fears that there won't be enough time, money, or love leave us. Five, we learn to play and have fun together. Six, we repair broken relationships and form new ones. Seven, health and self-nurturance return. Eight, self-seeking and ego inflation do not drive our decisions. Nine, we lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in and compassion for our partners, our families, co-workers, and our friends. 10. We experience how well the tools of the program help us handle problems which used to confuse and defeat us. 11. We ask for help and we reach out to others. 12. We find that our higher power helps us in ways that self-reliance never could. Are these extravagant promises?
We think not.
They are already happening in the lives of many of us. For those of you who are new to our fellowship, there are no problems that you have experienced that are not common to us. We welcome you with the deepest respect. When we apply this program with honesty and compassion, a place of serenity grows in us one day at a time.
Thank you. In order to preserve each member's anonymity, we ask that all you see here and all you hear here stay here. The opinions expressed are personal ones. Please take what you like and leave the rest. Thank everyone who read and shared today. In closing, we are thankful to have this opportunity to grow in respect for ourselves and to learn a healthy attitude toward our work. No matter how deep-rooted and desperate our workaholism, no matter how hopeless our problems seem, we start from where we are. By living the program one day at a time, we begin to experience the freedom and happiness it offers. As we grow closer to our higher power, we find we have become transformed. We have what we have always sought, love and peace of mind. What seemed impossible is now a reality. If we continue to take action on our program one step at a time, we find life becoming richer and more joyful. Let's end our meeting with a serenity prayer.